Abraham was 75 years old. And God speaks to him and says, dude, pack up all your goods and let's head out. He's like, where, Lord? Dude, it don't matter, man. Pack it up, let's go. Follow me, it's going to be awesome. Right? He says, just pack it all up. Okay, now I want you guys to imagine your grandpa. All right. How many of you guys have a grandpa that's in their 70s or older? All right. Okay, now I want you to imagine that guy. Now, I think Abraham was maybe in a little bit better shape than him. He'd probably been hitting the weight pile, throw a couple sheep on the sides every once in a while. Right? Go for a little morning jog. Keep his 75-year-old body in shape just in case the Lord says, let's go. So he lived to be 175 years old. So I'm guessing at 75, he wasn't doing too bad. But at the same time, he's still 75 years old. Right? How old? I mean, most of us are between 15, 14, and like 29. Right? Who's over 29 here? Dude, I'm the grandpa in the house. All right. So, I just want you to imagine, even at my age, all of the things that I've accumulated, even being 30. Right? And I've uprooted quite a few times, let me tell you. The Lord has spoken to me. I uprooted all my stuff, my whole family, everything. Moved down to Washington, moved to Texas, moved back to Alaska twice. Okay? And you lose a lot of stuff when you move in the transition. You get uprooted. All right? I want you to imagine what kind of plans that Abraham had to have had in his life and what kind of stuff he had to have had and how rooted he must have been after 75 years. He was no shabby guy. This dude was a warrior too, man. When the nation went and when kings came together and they overcame his Sodom and his brother Lot lived, or his nephew Lot lived there, he got fired up. He took his men that were trained and he grabbed them all down and he went down and he kicked some tail. And he takes his brother or his nephew back and all the goods and stuff and says, there you go. Don't mess with my family, right? Dude, he was a warrior. This guy was no shabby guy. He did that when he was over 75 years old, guys. Okay? So it wasn't like he was sitting around on his thumbs eating bonbons and, you know, sheep thingies, whatever. Lamb-a-lot. I don't know what he was eating. But he wasn't just sitting around doing nothing. This guy was rooted in. He had great possessions. And when it describes as he goes out, it says he takes up all the people. He even has people that work for him, that shepherd all of his sheep, that watch all of his goods, right? I need to get that other microphone. This thing is bothering me. All right. So he even takes up all that stuff. Dude, he has been seriously invested, right? He has been seriously working hard. How many of you guys think he probably had one or two plans about what his future looked like there? What his future looked like in the land that he had already been just kicking it in? Transition made. Bloop. How many of you guys think that he had some plans? Come on, seriously. But Abraham had a tremendous faith that when God begins to speak to him, he says, get up. It's time to go. It's time to uproot all your plans, all your stuff, all your goods, and let's head out. I got something good for you. I got something better. Amen? So what's he do? He tells him, look, I will make you into a great nation. And I will bless you. I'll make your name great. And you will be a blessing. And I'll bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I'll curse. And the peoples on the earth, they will all be blessed through you. I want you to think about this. He says, leave your country, your people, and your father's household. Pack it up. I want you to think about all of the country was just, it was where his future was. It was his land. He already had it staked out. He was already feeding his sheep. He was growing. It was his provision, man. It was his future. The land that he was leaving was all of his future. He had it all sorted out. And says, leave your people. Listen, leave your nation. Leave the people who are like you, the people you belong to. There's a lot of security. There's a lot of protection in your nation that can rise up around you if another nation tries to subdue you and capture you, right? He's like, no, you need to move away from that protection. He says, move from your father's household. Man, I tell you what, the father's household is his inheritance. It says, walk away from your father's blessing. Listen, I got something better for you. You need to walk away from that. Walk away from your inheritance. Walk away from all of the things that you could see God was going to provide for you. The care, the security, the love, the protection, the counsel of your family. Just step away. Because look, I'm going to begin to take those places in your life. You're going to become the father to others. You're going to become the father to many nations. In fact, in Romans, it says that he is and has become the father to all who believe. Wow. How many of you guys think that might have been a little bit better than the plans that he had sorted out? How many think it might just been a little bit better what God had planned for him, that all believers would call him their daddy? And say, Abraham, you're my father. You're my daddy. He's 75, guys. 75. How many of you guys already kind of got your plans sort of worked out? You know what? You got plans for your life, right? This is good. It's good to have plans for your life. You know what? We need to have plans. But you know what happens in our lives when we just start making all our own plans and we don't consult the Lord? Things can get a little out of hand. How many of you guys have ever heard crazy plans that people have? And they just start spouting them off. Like, dude! Dude, you're not going to believe what I'm going to do, man! It's going to be awesome. I'm definitely not pulling that out of my pocket. It's too hard. Dude, check it out. First, before I really get going in life, guess what I'm going to do? No, I'm not going to get married first. First, I'm going to read 250 self-help books. Yeah, some good pagan ones so I can really get confused before I get started early in life. Thank you, Tony Robbins. It's beautiful. Then, dude, when I graduate from high school, dude, I'm going to Harvard. Yeah, all you suckers believe that? I'm going to Harvard. 3.864. Yeah, GPA. We didn't weep. Yeah. Then, dude, I'm going to Europe. I'm going abroad, man. I'm going to get my master's degree. Yeah. It's going to be awesome, dude. You're going to love it. Then when I'm done with my master's degree, dude, I'm going to the Peace Corps right after I finish my 2-year mission in Uzbekistan. Dude, you're going to freak out when you hear my next plans. Oh, it's so awesome, dude. Dude, I'm getting a VW bug. I'm telling you. A VW bug, dude. I'm going from Uzbekistan all the way to Australia. Woo! Dude, I'm going to do it because they float. I'm telling you, they float. And they do, dude. If Herbie could do it when he was going bananas, I could. Do it. Dude, and when I get there, I'm going to find myself the girl of my dreams. She's going to be, ooh, she's going to be sweet. Yeah. Because there's no way I'm marrying anybody from anywhere else. Has to be from Australia. Nowhere else. Dude, I need a woman that can wrestle a crocodile. Dude, she can't wrestle a crocodile. She can't fight my battles for me. So I'm getting myself a good Aussie woman. Wrestle me a crocodile. I'll make her prove it too before I marry her. And if she's only got one arm, I'll still marry that woman. Then I'm going back to the Americas. I'm going to start myself my own canine orthodontic practice. I'm not kidding. I'm going to do it. Oh yeah. Then on the side, once things kind of get really going,
I'm going to start knitting those little kitty sweaters. Because those kitties, they shouldn't be naked. They shouldn't. It's sad. It's so sad that they're naked. Then when I'm done, I'm telling you, when I'm done with that, I've got the biggest idea. You will not believe it, dude. It's huge. It's huge. You're going to blow your mind when you hear this. But I can't tell you because it's so big, dude. It's going to make Post-its look small, baby. Come on. It's huge. It's huge. But I can't tell you because it's going to be so big. It's going to make me famous. Dude, I'm going to walk in the streets. People are going to look at me and they're going to cry. Fame. Then, when it's all done, I'm going to slip away into retirement. Quietly. Where did he go? They will say. Who will my tears shed for anymore? For he, the great creator, the thing that was better than Post-its, has slipped away. Then, the pinnacle of all things that I have been focused on will happen. Out of the oven, in my great kitchen, will come forth the most ingenious ideas that anyone could have ever imagined. I'm telling you, cookies like you've never seen before. They will make your heart weep. They will make your life splinter. I will have Nabisco in the palm of my hand. Yes, in the palm. A to Z, baby. I got it all figured out. Dude, if you want, I'm going to write a book about it. And you all can read it. And then you can do the same thing if you'd like. Because, you know, it all started from those great self-help books that I got. I mean, I'm telling you, the world and its pressures can teach you so much. You'll love it. It'll transform all of who you are. You'll get everything you always wanted. Hey, everything. I want to share with you just a simple story, a real story. Okay, a real one. We're switching from fake Josh to real Josh. Follow with me in the transition. Real Josh is coming. When I was going to college, this is 7 whatever plus years ago, I don't remember. Dude, I'm going. The Lord tells me. He calls me to go to school. So I go. You know what? Up until this point, I was the kind of man that would not do anything unless I heard the voice of God. I still want to be that same man. The Lord calls me. Everybody's telling me, you got to go to school. You got to go to school. You're going to be a nobody if you don't go to school. I'm like, Lord, I want to be centered and rooted in your will. Whatever you have for me. But then God calls me to school. I'm like, praise God, the pressure ends. Leave me alone. So, I pack all my whole family up. I got 2 kids and a wife, and we ship all the way down the Alcan, and we go to college. I'm there for like 2 years plus. And things start to get kind of hard. I start to lose vision of why I was there. I take this job. I get brainwashed by a retail company, and I think I'm going to take over. Right? I don't know what I was thinking. I lose all the vision of why God sent me down there. And so, more than that, God had his plans. God had plans for me that I didn't know. And I got distracted, and I was trying to crank out my school, wanted to get my degree, right? Then all of a sudden, I come out of one semester, spring semester, and it's summertime. My wife's like, well, I had to drop a class, so I moved out of full-time status into part-time status. I said, Josh, you got to move out of the married housing. I'm like, that's not good. So I had to find a house that was an hour away from my school. Not only add an hour to my commute when I'm working 50 hours a week, going to college full time, I got a wife and 2 kids, right? Okay. So this is like a busy, busy time of my life. And I don't have an extra hour to give. That extra hour would come out of my sleep. So I'm averaging like 3 hours of sleep a night for a year and a half, actually. So this is kind of towards the tail end of this. And I'm like, dude, how am I going to do this? But you know what? I'm not leaving. I didn't pray about it. I'm like, God, I'm not leaving. You told me to come here and I'm finishing my degree. I told the Lord that. I'm finishing my degree. My wife goes, honey, maybe the Lord's telling us we should go back home. I'm like, no, come on. Of course, she had been having total revival in her life, and the Lord had been speaking to her, and I just wasn't listening. So I say, no, baby, we're going to get rooted. I'm fine, dude, I'm getting rooted. Then my buddy calls me on the phone. He's an oil hand. He works up here in the oil field, and he calls me. He goes, Josh, what are you doing? Dude, I'm going to college, man. He's like, really? Bummer, because I got a sweet job for you. It's like $750 a day. I'm like, shh. Dude, that sounds great, but I'm sorry, I'm going to college. Okay, maybe I wasn't hearing the voice of the Lord very clearly, right? I got this sweet job. My wife's telling me we should go. I'm like, no, dude, I got my plans. Say, I have my plans. So the next 6 months of my life were the darkest, most painful, debt-incurring years of my life, months, days of my life. Every minute was painful, guys. The hand of God's blessing totally came off of me because I was not willing to hear his voice and to move forward in his plan. Say his plan. All right. So by the time the 6 months is up, it's December, I'm spent. I'm not the same person anymore. I'm a different person. And I'm cranky. I'm angry. I don't sleep ever. I live on coffee. I live on, adrenaline. I almost died. I can't even count how many times. I know 5 times specifically that I was headed off the road or about to crash into a car because I was sleeping while I was driving. Not a good combination. Difficult to do, but I seem to do it often. So anyway, I move into this. I actually had this opportunity to get away. I was able to create a window for a vacation, a 1 week vacation from school, from work. Take my family, my kids up to the hills and the mountains, and we're up there at Whistler in Canada, right? I'm sleeping like crazy. I sleep for like 3 days. I developed like sleep apnea because, I'm not kidding, because I could hardly even sleep anymore because I had damaged myself so much, right? And so I sleep and I finally like start to come out of this funk, like this ridiculous, I'm crazy person. And I wake up one morning, snowing, and I remember sitting up and looking, and I kind of look at my wife and she's sleeping there, and then I get up, my little kids are out playing in the living room. And I thought, what am I doing? What am I missing? God, what did you make me for? This is crazy. That's awesome. I'm going to close this. What did you make me for? I'm completely wasting my life. I'm just doing my own plan. Dude, I am not the same person. I'm hurting the people I love the most. I snapped out of it. And I asked the Lord. I go, God, what do you want me to do? And he goes, hello, McFly. Right? Knock, knock, knock. Go home. I have something for you. Get out of here. You're done here. I'm done with you in this place. You don't have to understand. Go. It was 6 months from that moment that I started working here at this church. See, there was a plan that God had. He needed me here. He wanted me here. It was no longer for me to finish my degree there. He's going to hopefully have me finish it some other way. All right? Now, the critical thing is not about the great plans that I had and that, I needed to have it all figured out. If you turn your Bibles to James, the book of James, chapter 4, you'll see this. Most people don't have their life figured out, even if they work really hard. I want you to think a little bit about our president, President George Bush. Now, when he took his office, think with me, do you think he had it all figured out of what he was going to do in his candidacy and his presidency was going to look like? Dude, I promise you, the dude is a man of plan. Anybody that can become the president of the United States has got a plan. All right? But what happened? Not too long after he took his oath of office, some terrorists crashed their airplanes into the World Trade Center Huh. And that changed his presidency forever, didn't it? He had his plans, but then God had different plans. Sometimes our plans just get disrupted. I'm not saying that God wanted the planes to crash in the World Trade Center. But the example is that we can have everything to the last nth detail figured out in our life, but all of a sudden it can get completely turned around. I want you to hear this in James 4, verse 13 through 16. Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to this city or to that, spend a year here, carry on business and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist. Say, I'm a mist. You are but a vapor. Say, I'm a vapor. I'm a misty vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. If, as it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Say evil. Listen, we make our plans. We make our great adventures. Oh, when I finish school, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. You watch and see. We're boasting. We're bragging. Look at me. Right? But guess what, guys? This puts us in a seriously hard spot. We get ourselves in a critical pinch. We either have to compromise our word, not God's word in our life, right? We have to compromise the word that we said. Or we have to have a tremendous act of humility and repent for all of the boasting about our plans. This is hard. This is not easy to do. You go around telling everybody, yo, I'm going to be a football player. I'm going to college. And I'm going to run the ball. I'm going to be a dentist. Dude, I'm going to be a teacher. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm gonna. Me. Okay, wait. What does the Lord want you to do? See, now think about this. You're going off to your college. You're going off to your school. You're going off into your career. And all of a sudden, or you're sitting at home playing your stinking Xbox, okay? Being lazy and doing nothing. Dude, I'm going to be a bum, man. I got high hopes. Yay. I'm going to do nothing. It's going to be awesome. People will look at me and not even know who I am. Now think about this. You get there wherever you're at, and then all of a sudden, the Lord whispers to you, go be a teacher. You're like, dude, I thought I was going to be an animal psychologist. No. Go into the mission field. I want you to preach my word. It's time for you to go. Pull up your tent stakes. Look, you're not going the right direction. Hear my word. It's time for you to live according to my word, not your word. See, when you live according to my word, you never have to compromise. But if you live according to your word, you will always be forced into compromise. Men and women of God, listen to me now. God has not called you to be men and women that have weak faith, that cannot believe God, that His word will sustain your life. He has not called you to be a weak people that cannot have the faith to uproot your life and live according to His word. He's not called you to be that. He's called you to be like Abraham. He's called you, and even if you're in your old age, no matter how old you are, you're willing, you're ready to go. Your tent stakes are loose, man. You're ready. This stuff is going to burn anyway. My plans are going to burn. Lord, if you want my plans to work, if you want me to be an animal psychologist, then I will do it. If you want me to pump gas down at McDonald's, God, then I will do it. You don't know why He wants you to pump gas at McDonald's. You don't know why He wants to go to college. You might think you know, but you don't know, you know? You know? You don't know, neither do I. I hope half of you or three quarters of you or 80, 90% of you become professionals in this world. You become solid, God-fearing professionals. but you do it according to the will of God. You get your degrees. You move forward in life. You don't waste your time being idle. No, you, Ephesians 5, make the most of every opportunity. Amen? But listen, you got to do it according to whose will? Whose will? How do you hear God's will? How do you know His will? Come on, you got to be patient. You got to wait. You got to be ready to listen and hear and willing to hear God's voice. Willing. Because when you're willing to hear His voice, you're willing to trade it all. You're willing to surrender it all. You're willing to trade all of your plans and your desires. Listen, you're a vapor, man. And it's gone. You don't know how long you're going to live. You don't know if you have tomorrow. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. I'm not guaranteed tomorrow. You're not guaranteed your heart's going to beat one more time. Where'd he go? You don't know. I went Reed, Pastor Reed, right? Oh no. But I tell you what, if Reed died today, would he have died too soon? Did Jesus die too soon? Amen. He would not have died too soon. Now I want Reed to live a long time. I love that guy. And I know you love him too. But listen, listen to me. Did Jesus die too soon? No. He died at the right time. He traded it all at the right time. Do you know how much more time you have? You don't. You're not guaranteed another day, but I promise you this. It's a guarantee that you will give account for every day. You're not guaranteed every day, but I guarantee you, you will give account for today. How you respond to this message today, you will give account. You will give account for every time you encounter the truth, every heartbeat you trade, every word that you speak, the Bible says, you will give account for. That, I guarantee you. You will stand before our Father in heaven, and He will say either, well done, my good and faithful servant, or He'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. It's a fearful thing. It's an awesome thing to be in the hands of an almighty God. Listen. Don't just make your plans. Don't just make your plans. Allow God to penetrate your heart, to speak to you. Come on, and if it's the Lord's will, then I will go here and do this. If it's the Lord's will, then I will go there and do that. It's okay for you to have your desires. It's okay for you want to be a doctor. It's okay for you want to be a lawyer. Come on, these are good things. We need these kind of people. If it's the Lord's will, right? Do not set yourself up to where you have to compromise your word. God says that you need to swear even into your own hurt. You need to keep your word even if it hurts you. The way it's going to hurt you rightly is that you're going to have to tell everybody, look, dude, I blew it. I'm sorry. I just was being proud and making my own plans. I need to ask your forgiveness. Look, this is what the Lord is telling me. He's whispering in my ears. He's telling me in my heart. He says, listen, you need to go abroad. You need to learn and you need to become a teacher. And I want to have you teach English to African pygmies that need to hear my word. And you're going to preach it to them. Come on. You don't know where the Lord is going to lead you. I would never have guessed that I would be here today. Could not have guessed it. Some of you guys might say, oh, Josh, dude, I just can't do this, man. Dude, I don't got faith like you got. Dude, I don't got faith like Abraham. That dude was sick. I don't know how he did that. 75, uprooting his whole family, traveling, fighting. I can't do that. I don't have the faith to do it. But listen, guys. Listen. All of you have a measure of faith. Romans 12 says, think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the measure, say measure, of faith God has given you. Everyone who has Christ in their life has to have a measure of faith. If you could take in your heart and believe that Jesus died for your sins, died for your brokenness, and you could accept him into your heart as your Savior and experience real eternal life. If you have the faith to do that, come on. You got the faith to believe that he can make the plans for your life. That he can tell you the next step. It takes a lot less than you think it does. It took a lot more to give Jesus your heart than it takes for you to be willing to allow him to make your plans. You can do this. I'm telling you, you can do it. Everyone has a measure of faith. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith, say faith, it's impossible, say impossible, to please God. But anyone who comes to him, who comes to Jesus, must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Come on, all of you have the faith to do this. All of you have the faith to say, no, Lord, if it's your will, if it's your will. I want you to think about this. Abraham's faith. It's great. Faramir. Okay. Sorry. Lord of the Rings flashback. Abraham's faith was ready to risk everything on the word of God. Not on his word. Not on Abraham's word. Not on your word, but on the word of God. You want to know how to have this kind of faith like Abraham did? You've got to do it. You've got to step forward on the word of God. You've got to hear his voice. You've got to read the Bible. You've got to hear that word in the Bible. Come on, God's principles that never change. They cross all time and culture. I don't care if the pygmies in Africa have never seen an Xbox. If they read God's word, it's true for them, just like it's true for you and me. You've got to know it. You've got to know who he is. Now see, look, faith can be bold when it acts along the lines of the promises of God. Faith can be bold. You can take and uproot all of your plans and everything in your life if it acts on the promises of God. Right? This boldness, come on, the boldness from God, when you have a prayer of faith that has this kind of boldness, it has to be built on the known character of God. It just doesn't come pie in the sky. When I read a Tony Robbins book and it said that I'm supposed to live and make my plans and my three-step, No. Tony Robbins doesn't have the plan for your life. There is no self-help book that's going to make you figure it out. There's no counseling session you're going to go to. None of that stuff can help you. There's great tools and things out there that can help you. But I'm telling you, you want to know what the next step is for your life. You want to make a bold declaration for God. You want to do something great for the Lord. Take that next step. It might not seem big to you. It didn't seem big to Abraham when he said, uproot, I'm taking you to another land. He's like, dude, another land? What's wrong with this land? I like this land. I have cows, I have sheep, I have people. What I see and what all I've seen since I've seen it looks good. He's like, no. I want to show you something new. There's something better. And you're going to be the father of all who believe.
Ooh, that does sound good, Lord. Let us go.
Right?
Let us do it. We will do it together. You and me. Me and you.
Romans 4:11-17 is where it says that Abraham is the father of all who believe. Exodus 34:5. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to the thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes children and their children's sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generations. Moses bowed to the ground, and at once he worshipped. Lord, if I have found favor in your eyes, he said, then let the Lord go with us. Although this is a stiff-necked people. Forgive our wickedness and our sin and take us into your inheritance, or as your inheritance. Then the Lord said, I am making a covenant with you before all your people. I will do wonders never done before in any nation in all the world. The people you live among will see how awesome is the work that I have done. The Lord will do for you. Obey what I command you today, and I will drive out before you the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now listen, when you know who God is, when you can make bold declarations based on His Word and the known character of God, He's faithful. His love endures forever. His love is maintaining. He's maintaining love for the thousands, forgiving wickedness and rebellion. He's slow to anger. He's gracious. Listen, when you know the character of God, and when you know that He has good plans for you, as it says in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. Listen, He's for you. When you know who He is, it's easy to live according to His Word. Amen? It's easy to make a bold declaration and just strip everything away and do it. Just go for it. You just need a seed of faith. You just need to build on the faith that you started with when you gave Jesus your life. You can do this. You can do this. Don't settle for second best. Don't settle for your own plans. Don't settle for what you think might be best, or what the world around you tells you, this will be best. If you don't get this, you won't have this. Isn't it that way? If you don't just get it all figured out and have your perfect little three-step plan done by the time you're a sophomore, the whole universe is going to collapse. No. I'm sorry. The universe does not revolve around you and your family. The universe is withheld by the Word of God. He spoke it into existence, and He holds it there by the power of His Word. Hebrews 1. Come on. You don't hold it together by the power of your Word and your plans. Your parents don't. All right? If it is the Lord's will, then I will go. Now, I want to encourage you about something. You got to know how God is speaking to you, because most of the time God is speaking to you through your parents. Most of the time He's telling you, come on, He's telling you, look, you need to get off your duff. You need to go do some work around the house. You need to start cleaning. You need to start treating your mom with respect. You need to begin to honor your parents. And when your daddy and your mommy say, look, you need to go to school, then you get up, you wash the crustiness off your bed, you wash it off your head, and you get out to school. They say, look, I think you can make it in college. I think you should really think about this. I don't care if they know the Lord or not. The Lord speaks through your authority figures, primarily through your parents. I'm telling you. But you've got to know that it's the Lord. You've got to know. You can't just make decisions based on pressures of this world and your own internal desires and hopes and dreams. You know what? It's got to be according to the Word of God. Hebrews 11:8, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to the place that he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went. Say, obeyed and went. Even though he did not know where he was going. God might call me to go somewhere I don't know where I'm going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land. Like a stranger in a foreign country, he lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. Do you want to make plans for your own life and you be the architect? Guess what architects do? They make plans so that people can build things. Right? Do you want to be the architect for your life? Do you think it's going to be better if you design your own little life and house and get it all worked out? Or do you think that the creator of all the universe the beginning and the end, the one who was, who is, and who will be the ultimate architect. Now, this is what Abraham was waiting for. Oh, no, 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 no. I don't need to stay here. No, I don't care how hard it is. Look, we're pulling it all up because I know if you build it, Lord, it's going to be good. It's going to be great. It's going to be everything that I would have ever hoped and dreamed for. And then some. I could not even dream of all the amazing things that you could do through me. He could never even imagine of how every believer, you and me, would actually be through him. That's weird and amazing. And he could not comprehend that. And I promise you right now, and I'm going to close with this, and I want you to think about this. You do not know what God is doing in your heart. You might not even know him yet. You might not have ever even called on the name of Jesus in your life or even known who this guy was. Or you might have thought you knew, but then all of a sudden you're like, maybe there's a little bit more to this guy than I thought before. Maybe God is really real, and this is what I was looking for all along when I was making my own plans. And all of a sudden you just ended up here somehow. Wonder how you got here. Maybe the ultimate architect of the beginning and the end, the architect of the universe, the God of heavens and earth, maybe he was drawing you. Maybe God's drawing you right now to submit your life into a place where you'd be willing for him to be your architect, for him to build your city, for him to build your life. But it means you got to be willing to uproot it all. Who you think you belong to, right? Because you don't belong to yourself anymore. You belong to the King. You belong to the one who you surrendered your life to. And he's going to take care of you. And he has a hope and a future and a plan for you that you could never, ever imagine. You couldn't even dream up. Are you just going to simply believe the Lord? Are you going to believe God for who he says he is? For the things that his character stands for? Are you going to believe him? Elias, will you play that song? I want you guys to listen to this song. My sister-in-law wrote this song. I want you to meditate on this as we're closing. I want you to think about your faith and your life. What do you believe? Is God your architect? Is he the Lord of your life?
That you promised.
Listen, the obstacles are not your responsibility. How you can't do it, how it can't happen, that's not your job to figure out. It's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is to have faith. Your responsibility is to obey and to hope and to trust. That's your responsibility. Are you simply going to believe him? Simply going to believe him. Let's pray. Father, we ask that your presence would just be here today. That you just continue to move in our lives. God, that you would have your way. God, that you would just stir up a simple faith inside of us, God. To just believe you. Just believe what your word says. Just believe that you have a good plan for us. That you made us for a purpose, God. That you have great things and mighty things you want to do through us, God. That you want to heal people's lives. You want to draw people to you through us. God, you want to work miracles. You want to shake nations through us. God, I pray you'd stir up that simple faith just to believe you. Just to simply believe your word, because it's true and it's holy, God. God, bless your people with a simple faith today. Fill them with your spirit, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you stand with me? Now listen, there's a lot of ways we could end this service. There's a lot of ways. But I believe the Spirit of God wants to move in your life powerfully. And I believe that God wants to take this moment right here and right now, and he wants to take it home with you. He wants to root it in you. He wants to build it in you. There's a lot of ways we can end. It needs to end in repentance in your heart. God, forgive me for living a life all to my own. Forgive me for having my own plans. Now, I want to do this really simple. I'm not going to call everybody forward. But I want you just to slip your hand up. You feel like you want to repent to the Lord, and you're going to do it tonight. You're going to do it in your home, and you're going to tell your friends about it. I want you to just slip your hand up. Come on, be brave. I'm going to change the way I was living. I've been living by my own plans. Amen. And I'm ready to live according to your word. Good. You guys are brave. Your name means brave. Did you know that? Awesome.
Cool.
Listen, from this day forth, I'm going to take you at your word, because I believe, not that I could fly, but I believe in your word. Amen. Listen, take your commitment. You got to take it before God. God doesn't want a people that only makes changes and decisions when they're in church. God wants a people that will make changes and decisions when they go home, when they go into their schools, when they go into their families. Who are you going to be then? Are you going to take this change to your house, into your bedroom, in front of your computers when nobody's looking, around your friends when all your Christian friends are gone? And nowhere to be seen. Who are you? Are you taking this change? Are you going to take God's word for what it simply is? Then. Amen. So I love you. You're beautiful. Take God's word. Take the challenge. Enjoy it. Allow it to just brew in your heart. And never be the same. Don't ever walk in this place the same way you walked in today. Amen. You walk out different, you come back different. Amen. Come on. You walk out different, you come back. You come back what? Right. Because different people make a difference. Amen. You've got to be different for God if you're going to make a difference in this world.